on page 705. I'm going to put it on the screen. We started yesterday. We discussed yesterday the Zmanim, the Seder Hadvarim, the order of the Sfarim of Trei Osar. Are they in chronological order? And we came out with the conclusion that they're not. Well, that was the Machlokes between Yerushalmi and the Bavli. If they are in order, it was dependent on do we calculate the years of the king, of a secular king, from Tishrei or from Nisan, when that king is good for the Jews. And now we're up to the next Maamar Chazal, which is Kol Zman. Okay, it's, I put it on the screen. How many lines? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 lines after it gets white. Page 705. You have the articles on page 705. 5 lines down. If you pass by the shul, I always tell you, please come into the shul and take a copy of Trei Asar into the regular place. Take it home so you'll have it in front of you. 5 lines down. Kol zman shavoida space hamigash kayemes ha'ilam misparich al yoshav ugeshamim yardim bezmanim. When the Beis Hamikdash was in existence then there was blessing. The world was a blessed place. Kol zman, okay, shenemar ulo avdoi b'chol levav v'chol nafshechem, v'nasati mit ha'artzchem b'yito yirem al koyish, this should sound familiar to us, we just said it a few minutes ago during davening. V'nasati eisa b'satru l'chantechol v'zman she'ein avod espres emdish v'kayemes ein ulo mesporich al yashva v'ein ha'gishamim yoydim b'zmanam shenemar, hishamu l'chem pen yiftel levavchem, v'goymer, v'yatsar es ha'shamayim, below yehi emotar. The chain b'chagai hu oimer. Simun olavavchem. Pay attention. Min ayom hazev amolo. Niterem sum even 11 behichal Hashem. Miyosam bo el arimas eshem. When you come, miyosam, when it was that you would arrive to a pile of grain, to the soil that was you expect to receive 20 measures. V'chayisah sora. Bo el ayekev. You come to the wine vat. Lachasoif, to withdraw chamishim, pura, 50 measures, v'chayisla eshrim. Mibnei ma'aloi nema bayeket eshrim, v'hoyu asara, k'shem shnema b'chitim eshrim, v'hoyu asara. Why? We had this before, we had two opinions regarding this. We learned two little farshim asked this question. Why is there a different number system given for the wine relative to the grain? When we mentioned the grain, the numbers were 20, 10. Wine, with regard to the wine, was 50, 50, 20. We had two questions. Number one, why is there a different number system? Why don't we use the same number, 20, 10? And number two, if we're going to use a different number system, why is the proportion different? With regard to grain, the proportion was 50%. And here it's less. It's 50, 20, not what we'd expect, 25. And we gave different answers. Let's see what it says here. L'fi sheyakev simin toib yosem michitin. So he says something a little bit different in the Gemara. Yakev, wine, simon toiv yosem michitin. L'lamdecha, shekol zaman. Something just happened over here. Something happened over here. I hope it's still here. Okay. What's l'lamde teach you? Sheyakev. Uh-oh, you see, I know, something happened over here. Give me a second, I don't know this.
Oh, something happened.
Whatever, the thing came down. Right, I'll just read it, and I'll read it for a few moments. L'lamdecha, I'm having a lot of trouble here. My picture doesn't come up, and this thing doesn't come up either on the screen. Give it a few moments. L'lamdecha, to teach you. What's the message? To teach you. Shekol zman shehayayin loikeh. Simin ra l'chol hashana kula. When yayin is loike, it's a simin ra. Okay, it's not on the screen because the thing won't give it a few moments. Kol's man shayayin loike. Simin.
What's loike?
Loike means smitten. Loike means smitten. When there is a curse.
Means the wine good.
When the wine is cursed. Well, when the wine, there is a shortage of yayin in the world, It's not just an absence of wine. It's symbolic. Simone Milso, coming to Rosh Hashanah. On the first night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat all these different types of foods for as a symbolism. Simone Milso, we're going to discuss that later today. Simon Ra L'chol Hashanah Kula. Amru Yisrael L'chnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, B'neima Ata Asisis Milanu Kach. Why are you doing this? Why are you denying us? Why are you denying us this blessing? And the answer is, Heshivan Ruach HaKodesh, Ponoi El Harbei V'hinei Lema. This goes back to the beginning of Sefer Chagai, because you are turning your attention to Harbei. Well, you are expecting that there should be an abundance, but there is not. Yan Beisi Asher Hu Chorev Yatem Rotzim Ish LeBeisoi, because you're not concerned about Hashem's honor. You're only concerned about your own self-interest. And that is why you are trying to get this to work. You're only concerned about your own self-interest, and that is why you're not successful. If you busy yourself in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, I will bless you. We're going to come to this soon. This pasuk. Okay, so let's just review outside the basic idea of what he's trying to say.
No.
And with the basic.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just a drop left.
Okay. The basic gist of what he's saying here is, he's taking these psukim here in Chagai. He's connecting many of the psukim, a collection of the psukim in the beginning of the Sefer and here as well, which all relate to the idea of the Beis HaMikdash. That if we serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, or we do the equivalent of what is meant to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, which means we daven when the Shalma Forim Sefoseinu, then Hashem will send blessing. Will send blessing. And then if we do not, there will not be blessing. And the idea is, here in Sefer Chagai, there is a direct, explicit correlation between the building of the Beis HaMikdash and blessing. In the Kriya Shema, it's not so explicit. In Kriya Shema, it says, V'hoyo im shemoya tishmu el mitzvosai. And it goes on to say, Vavadetem es Hashem Elokechem, you will serve Hashem. Vavadetem. Now, the word Vavadetem there is not it's not absolutely clear what it means. What exactly is the Vavadetem? What is the Vavadetem? So, it seems like what it's saying here is that since over there in the Psukim it goes on to say, Venosati Gishmichem Bi'itam, and the earth will give forth, Yevula will give forth grain and wine, all of the produce. And here in Sefer Chagai, it says the same thing. And in Sefer Chagai, it explicitly connects the blessing of your parnasa with the binyan Beis HaMikdash. Because here in the psukim that we have learned, we're winding down here, these psukim, pasuk tesov, Simu no levavchem. Now I'll turn around. Simu no levavchem. L'min hayoyim azev v'mola. These psukim are dealing with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Mitarem sum even el even v'heichal Hashem. Okay. However you want to learn those psukim. Yesterday we discussed two different translations of these words. Either it means before you continue to build the structure upon the foundation, or before you begin to build, just an expression, before you proceed to build, make sure that you that you pay attention, you do teshuvah, so that you will receive blessing in your parnasa. The next pasuk has Zion tells us about the Aremas, Eshrim 20 and 10, and you expect to come into the silo and to receive 20, and you find only 10. You expect to find from the wine 50 measures, you find only 20. So we see here an explicit connection between the building of the Beis HaMikdash for its intended purpose and your blessing, your parnasa. And in the beginning of the Sefer, the Gemara cites another pasuk in the beginning of Chagai. It's not so big Chagai, it's a very small Sefer. We mention also that Hashem is complaining to Klal Yisrael that you should be focused on building the Beis HaMikdash, and instead, each person goes to their private home. They're more concerned with their private dwelling than they are with Hashem's dwelling. And because of that, there's a curse. There's going to be a curse sent to your parnasa. So here in Chagai, it could not be more explicit, the correlation between your parnasa and the not willing to build the Beis HaMikdash and to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. This then, it appears from the Gemara, is a revelation that when it says in Kriya Shema, Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem, the avoda that we are referring to is the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash.
The problem is that even though we were commanded to build a dwelling for Hashem when we entered Eretz Yisrael, we did not do so for the law.
We did not have a choice.
And yet,
yes, we were blessed.
And we were, we had our ups and downs, but we were
okay.
Successful to a degree. So how is it dependent?
So Ramachol is asking a question that for 480 years, we did not have, well, first of all, that's not necessarily true. We did have a Beis HaMikdash. We did have. It's not so because we had in the midbar 40 years there was 7 mikdashim.
Talk about upon entry into Eretz, we did not fulfill the command of having a permanent for Hashem.
But we had the Mishkan. We had Gilgal.
Temporary.
Okay, but Gilgal, there was no complaint because at that point in time that's what was required of us. Nothing more was required of us. Than that. So at that point in time, we did nothing wrong. Obviously, you can't say there was a complaint against Klal Yisrael at that point in time because there was no mitzvah yet to build the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash came at a certain point in time. Now, and until you can, those were times when we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, Alpi Nevi'im. The complaint over here is only when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And now Chagai is calling the people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with Nehemiah and Ezra, and they're not doing. So now when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, now there is a complaint. And here the Pesukim are coming to make this direct connection. If you do not build the Beis HaMikdash, you will suffer in your Parnasa. That is this, it's explicit here. That's what we read over here in this pasuk here, and we read this in the beginning of the Sefer. It appears that this piece of Gemara is coming to tell us now. This is like a binyan af. This is a revelation. So when we go to Kriya Shema and it says, "V'chaya im shemoya tishmu el mitzvah se'ashenochim mitzav eschem, li'avo es Hashem elokechem u'li'avdo and to serve Hashem v'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem." What's the avoda? If not for this Gemara, you would say the avoda is just you should be a good person. No, so there's no Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you can be a good Jew without a Beis HaMikdash, living in Golis, living in Bavel, it's no big deal. Along comes this piece of Gemara and is telling us, no, there when it says, Vavadetem es Hashem Elokechem b'chol levavchem b'chol nafshechem, it's something very specific. The service that Hashem is demanding that should be done with all of your heart and soul is a service that should be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Specifically, you go back and look at the words again. Let's look at the beginning of the words of this chazal. When it starts,
there is something else here on the tochacha that we are going to read tomorrow. It says when you go to the galut, you don't have Beit HaMikdash. Va'avadetem sham Elohim acherim etzva even, and then zera rav totzi hasadeh umeat te'esov. Exactly the same thing. Because you are in Galut, you're not, and your land and Bet HaMikdash and the whole thing, Zera Rav Totzi HaSadeh U'me'at Te'esof, the produce will be very little in the Galut. This is what the Tochacha says, the same thing.
It says here as well. Correct, exactly. Just look again at the beginning of these words. It's five lines in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now we saw the ABC. We appreciate the beginning. Kol zman shavodas beis hamikdash kayemes ha'olam nisparech al yoshvav u'gishamim yordim bizmanam. As long as there's a beis hamikdash, the world is blessed. The rains descend in the right time. Shenemar. Here he's quoting the pasuk in Kriyat Shema. In Kriyat Shema, it doesn't say this. It doesn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash. All it says there is, Ul'avdo, you'll serve Hashem, b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. V'nosati mita'artzchem b'yito, yoyre'u u'malkosh. V'nosati eiseh b'sadcha l'vimtecha. But it was man, she'ein Beis HaMikdash, avoidas Beis HaMikdash chayemes. Ein ha'olam misparech al yeshva ve'ein ha'gishamim yordim bizmanam. Shenemar, hisham lochem, penyif telavchem. V'yotzar es hashman, v'lo yimotar. Wait a minute. Where does it say in Kriyat Shema that what Hashem is demanding, that there should be blessing of rain and produce and success, depends upon the Beis HaMikdash? It doesn't say that. Where do you see the word Beis HaMikdash? All it says is to serve Hashem. What? Ul'avdo. Ul'avdo. Where do you see this? Where? It doesn't say it. So it appears that the proof is v'chein v'chagai hu oimer. It appears it's like a binyan af, something which is sosum, and there's another pasuk elsewhere which is explicitly open, reveals the secret that allows us now to understand the depth of what it means elsewhere, because b'chagai it says clear as day. Simu no levavchem. Pay close attention. Maybe the diak is from the word levavchem. V'hoyu ha-devorim ho'il ha-shanochi mitzavecho hayom al levovecho. Perhaps there's also a reference because it uses the word the heart. Maybe that's also part of the equation. It's part of the equation, the language. Simu no levavchem. Pay close attention. That is a common denominator between Kriyat Shema and these psukim.
That's, yeah. And also, the existence of a Beis HaMikdash doesn't guarantee bracha if the people's heart is not in it, as it is towards the end of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, of course. But he's saying that the parallel is that Parnasa is directly connected to there being a structure called the Beis HaMikdash and Klal Yisrael serving Hashem in this structure, okay, in this building, where the Gemara says this as a fact. And the Gemara cites the Psukim in Kriyat Shema. And when you read the Psukim in Kriyat Shema, you say to yourself, I don't know what the Gemara is saying because it doesn't say that in the Psukim. All it says in the Psukim is that if you want to succeed in your parnasa, you should va'avaditem es Hashem Elokeichem b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. It doesn't say the word Beis HaMikdash. Just because it says the word avoda, avoda can mean many things. Avoda usually refers to avoda shebelev, prayer. Who says it depends upon there being a Beis HaMikdash? Yet the Gemara makes this very bold statement. It appears when the Gemara says v'chein b'chagai hu oimer. In Chagai, the pasuk that we learned here, it is explicit. It says here in pasuk tezayin, mi'yoysam ba. He's telling us, look, you have no parnasa, you're poor. Why are you poor? And he says, you know why you're poor? Because you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk before says, don't. Simon olavavchem minayoyim azevamola b'terem sum even 11 mechel Hashem. Before you built the Beis HaMikdash, right now, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, right now, you are not doing well. The economy is not well. It's not a healthy economy because there is no Beis HaMikdash. And it uses the language of Simuna Levavchem. And even if you don't want to come on to the a connection between words, the fact that Chagai explicitly says that success in Parnassa is dependent upon the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Before you build the Mikdash, you have nothing. After you will have, as you had in the previous generations. So now, when we go to Kriya Shema, and we read about success in Parnassa, which is dependent upon serving Hashem, we have a right to assume that the serving of Hashem is the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. That is what this Chazal appears to be saying, which is an incredible chiddush, because until I learned this Chazal, I never ever looked at it like that. When you say Kriya Shema every single day, and you read the words, and you say the words, v'avadetem v'choyo im shemoya tishmu el mitzvosai, and you read that Hashem says that if you observe my mitzvos, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to cause that the rain will come down in the right time, and there will be produce, grain, wine, oil, and if you shomer lechem, pen yiftel levavchem, v'sartem, v'avadetem, elohim ha'achim, v'yishtachavisim, v'choraf Hashem, v'yotzares ha'shamayim, v'lo yiyye motar, v'yodam olo, sitein es yivula. I never looked at it that this is all dependent on there being a Beis HaMikdash. I always assume that even when you're in Golos, it's not our fault there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's old news. There hasn't been a Beis HaMikdash for 1,950 years. So you find that there are many Jews throughout the last 1,950 years that were very successful. Very successful. Very wealthy.
That's what you mean by success?
I mean, whatever.
The way I look at this, it says that it seems to me to say that when there's a Beis HaMikdash, there is a guarantee of continuous bracha. Whereas when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's not that there'll never be any bracha, but there'll be no guarantee of a continuous bracha. A reliable bracha becomes unreliable.
All right, okay, it's all the same. It's all part of the same idea. That's the same principle. All right, let's go on. Next, Maim Chazal, Pasuk Zayin, Lachsoif, Chamishim, Pura, V'Hoysa, Eshrim.
I'm sorry. Let me just inject one more point here. Talking about grain and wine.
Yeah.
He says here that wine is different than grain. And I think what he means is that grain is a necessity. It's the staff of life.
A staple of life.
You can live on bread and water. But wine is a luxury. That's, I think, what he means.
Wine, you're saying wine is a luxury, yeah.
Right. It's not an essential, it's a luxury.
It's a luxury.
So therefore, and that's what he means, that the ratio is different there because it's an extra. So
Mechola is suggesting the reason why when it comes to grain, the number is low, and when it comes to wine, the number is higher, is because wine represents luxuries. In life, there are necessities and there are luxuries. And luxuries, whenever there's a luxury, or by definition, there's an abundance. Because that exactly is what a luxury is, something which is
extra.
So therefore, the numbers of luxuries are expressed in higher numbers, because that's in essence what a luxury is, something that you don't, it's not essential, it's a bonus.
In Judaism, yayin is a necessity.
Yayin is, in Judaism, why do you say that?
It's all over the world. You have to make kiddush.
Okay.
It's not a luxury when making kiddush. It's a requirement.
Not in terms of basic survival.
It's required for spiritual ceremonies, but not necessarily for basic living needs. All right, let's go further.
There is a reason for that, for the two. In the text, it says, Ba el arimat esrim v'aita asara. He did not expect anything. Look at who, he came there and he saw Arimat Esrim and became just a Torah. ואחר כך, בא אל היקב לחשוף 50, he expected to get 50, and then ויתה 20. Don't expect. אין דבר כזה. הקדוש ברוך הוא נותן מה שהוא נותן. What does it mean you expect to get it? לחשוף 20. No, it doesn't go this way. So that's the difference. The first one, it doesn't say הוא בא לחשוף או לחפש או למצוא. He buy this and he found this. The second one, he expected to find more, so he got less. That's why there is in the text it says
the expectation,
because it doesn't say lachsof in the Torah or limso something anywhere.
Only a word used by a liquid. That word does not appear to be a word that you use by a solid. It appears the word lachasoif is just, there are certain vocabulary words for each
find. To find. Lachasoif is to discover, to find. He came to find a certain measurement and he gets less because he expected. I deserve it. Hashem, I worked hard for it, as Hashem should give me the benefit. You know.
Expectations.
Bidiyo. The first one didn't expect. He came and he found less. That's it.
Let's see this chazal. Pasuk Tzayin. Lachasoif chamishim pura b'chayisa eshrim. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Tani. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Hafsokas hatohara notlo esatam v'esoreach. That when in Klal Yisrael, Tahira came to an end. With the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer a Pora Aduma. We no longer have Tahira. Now, the truth is, this is a very big, interesting topic of discussion. When exactly did the Pora Aduma, the ashes of the Pora Aduma, come to an end? So there are some indications that the Tanoim, who were living, during, even up to the time of the Chasima Satalmud, which is 500 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they still had the ashes of the Pora Aduma. I cannot quote you this moment in time, chapter and verse, but this is something which I think is well established, is that the Tanoim and the Amoraim had at their disposal, even in Bavel, the ashes of the Pora Aduma. And when they went to a funeral, and they came back from a cemetery. So they went through the process of Tahira. They went to the mikvah. What is the entire process of Tahira? You first go to the mikvah, and then you start counting days. One, two, days one, two, three. On day three, a kohen sprinkles upon you the ashes, water that has been mingled with the ashes of the Pora Aduma. And then you get, then day four, five, six, seven, they do it a second time. Then you go to mikvah, and you wait until the sun sets, and now you are 100% tohar. And that tahira, obviously, okay, for a person who is a spiritual creature, a tana and namoira, obviously grants an enormous benefit. We have no idea what it would be like. We don't understand that. It's like, you know, it's like if you have a computer that has Wi-Fi chip inside, so you can connect. You can connect to all of the, you know, Hashem is teaching us all these things, all this technology. You go wireless. How in the world can it possibly be that you can sit with a device, with a telephone, and you can communicate? How could you communicate with people all over the world? You can sit in your basement in Flatbush and you can speak to anyone anywhere in the world, wirelessly. Why? Obviously, there are things in this world that you don't see, but yet we know as a fact it works. But you have to have a signal, and you have to have the hardware, the technology to pick up that signal. Going to mikvah is basically turning on that signal. if a person is spiritually impure, whether he's impure, tumas keri, tumas meis, anida, azav, each type of tuma is unique. It's not one size fits all. Today, we're very makbid on tumas keri. You'll ask, what's the big deal? What's the purpose? Tumas keri is not gonna help you. You're still tomei tumas meis. Eino chinami. Hai l'chud v'hai l'chud. Tumas meis, there's nothing we can do about. But that's a different type of contamination. Tumas keri is a type of contamination which you can do something about. And you know the biggest proof is a dead body. Why are they toivel a dead body in the mikvah for a tahara? Okay, part of the process of a tahara is to be toivel the dead body in the mikvah. It's like the Chazal say, a toivel the sheretz biyodoy. If you immerse in the mikvah, holding in your hand the sheretz, going to the mikvah doesn't accomplish anything. If you toivel the sheretz, does the sheretz become tahar? Of course not. So what are you accomplishing by taking the dead body and putting the dead body in the mikvah? The dead body is avia v'satoma. And the answer is, you're right. It's not going to be mitar the body from tumas nes, but it's mitar the body from tumas keri. Okay, every person that has an emission, it brings upon its body a degree of tuma. And Chazal say that at the time of Misa, of death, when the person's neshama sees the Malach HaMoves, it causes a release of keri. That's what it says. Now, even though you'll say physically, you do not see anything on the body, person will analyze the body, they're not going to necessarily see anything physical, any emission. We don't know what that means. The pachad of Misa causes there to be a reaction in a person's body, which, whatever it means, causes a release, even a microscopic degree of keri to be aroused, to be released from, I guess, its source. That brings upon the body contamination. And that is the reason why a dead body has a tahara, it is immersed in the mikvah. Now, during Corona, I don't know, the very big mystery, if they did a tahara, if they immersed the bodies in the mikvah, people told me that they did not, because the chapels were warned that a body that has Corona, what are you going to do with the wastewater? If you're going to wash the body with liquid, where is that liquid going to go? Down into the sewer. And in the sewer, we're not interested, you should put contaminated water that has some disease into the sewer. Who knows? No one knows anything. So the chapels were warned not to do this. Did the chapels listen? I'm willing to bet many of them did not listen.
Okay, and is there any evidence that anyone got sick as a result?
No, there is no evidence. Well, no one knows anything. This whole thing is just a big, whatever it is. So I don't know, you go talk to a Chevra Kadisha, ask them what exactly went on. You should know, if you paid attention to the news, there was a horrible suggestion. Even New York State, they demanded, there was a proposal, and this was very serious, this is not a joke. Everyone who's died this last 3 months should be cremated. Everyone. That was a very serious proposal. And a lot of the Askanim had to get involved to say, don't you dare, don't go that far. But that was suggested, the Agud, if you read up the Agud, they had their fundraising campaign. And they revealed all of the things that they did during these last 3 months. And one of the things that they did the last 3 months, I found that to be very fascinating, is they got involved in shutting down this proposal that was really serious, that bodies should be cremated during this time. And okay, so it's something called the tahara. Bizman hazeh, we have mikvois, fine. In chutz liaretz, we have an understanding that the earth itself is contaminated because you do not know how many Indians are buried under your feet. You don't know. It could very well be that where you're living in your home, underneath the foundation of your home, they once upon a time buried a tribe, an Indian tribe. How did they get there? I don't know how they got there. Who knows? So Chazal say the land, the earth, the soil of Chutz La'aretz is Taneh. Now, let's go further. Over here it says that Bizman, this is a very powerful Gemara. Rav Tanya Rishim Nilozo Omer, Hafsoka Satahara Notla Es Hatam Via Sareach. That ever since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the ability to purify yourself, which I'm assuming really means the Parah Aduma, was denied from us, then it had an effect upon the earth. Fragrance and flavor have been diminished. Our food today is stale. You go into a restaurant, you think you're eating a delicious piece of steak. You think you go into a fruit and you buy delicious fruit. That's not what it's meant to taste like. Chazal tell us tam, real flavor, and reach is gone. And this Gemara is a very frightening Gemara because this Gemara was thrown around during Corona season. Mm-hmm. What do I mean? One of the main symptoms. It's not always true because not everyone had this symptom, but it appears a very common symptom was a person who has corona has no sense of taste and smell. You lose your sense of smell and taste. People who had corona will testify. This past Shabbos, I was eating by someone. And he said, it's very interesting. He said, how do you know you had corona? Mitzoy Shabbos, going back, I guess, 3-4 months, Havdalah. He smelled the besamim. He smelled absolutely nothing. When he smelled the besamim Mitzoy Shabbos, he could not smell a thing. And he knew something was wrong. He told this to me on this past Shabbos. And sure enough, he had corona. And the guy was very sick. In fact, they got sold. He fainted. I got very sick. He fainted, and he fell. And when he fell, he hurt himself very, very bad. He hit himself when he fell, and they called Atzala. They took him away. This guy wasn't so poshut, but he knew something was wrong when he could not smell the besamim from Havdalah. It's very frightening. You know, very frightening is that. This disease, one of the primary symptoms is your loss of tam v'reach. And Chazal say, tam v'reach is related to tahira. When there's an absence of tahira, purity in Klal Yisrael, you know what the result is? There's no tam v'reach. What?
The sense of, didn't he say there's a connection between sense of smell and midas hadin?
I'm not aware of that. Okay, but now you're not allowed to do these type of things. I don't believe in trying to go and to, we don't know why. It's a cardinal sin today to try to say why. Why did this happen? Why did this person die? Why did he suffer? I know why. I know why it's the internet. It's sneos, lashon hara, talking during davening. It's materialism. It's jealousy. It's this. It's that. It's baloney. No one knows nothing. Baloney. No one knows anything. No one can even begin to fathom why. We don't live in a generation. We have prophets that can tell you why. But even though that's true, you're not allowed to do that. It's really awesome to do that. But anyway. If there are certain obvious things, obvious connections, and these issues are issues that anyway need to be dealt with, and there is a chazal that does make a connection, then it's a very good thing to take advantage of the situation and to rectify issues that anyway need to be rectified. Not to make the connection
cause and effect.
Cause and effect. But listen, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset and he's been toveya, and these are anyway issues that need to be addressed. So no, let's now use this as an inspiration to make those corrections. This is a very frightening chazal, because we do know that in our generation, the tahira of Klal Yisrael is challenged. Living in a world of shmutz, we're living in a very, very difficult world. Wherever you go, you're surrounded by contamination, tahira, purity. And when there's an absence of purity, Chazal say, the result is there's an absence of tam v'reach. Let's go further. Hafsaka satahira nedala esatam v'yesareach. Bittul next halacha. Bittul esa maisreis. If a person does not give tzedakah, maiser oni, maiser rishon, maiser sheni, giving to a lady maiser rishon is really in essence tzedakah. What is the effect? Not lu es shumon hadogon. Now here is where we're coming to our psukim of Yinao Gmar. What does that mean, the shumon hadogon? Obviously, the shumon, the fat of the grain. The shumon hadogon obviously is not the same thing as tam v'reach. Flavor, fragrance is one principle. Then there is another principle that is just good quality food. It's the shumon, maybe it means there are nutrients. Okay, you have a piece of bread. Okay, they say today they say that the earth has been depleted of its nutrients. So all of the grain and the food that we're eating today, really it's missing. Ordinarily in Talmud Chazal, you eat a piece of bread, that's it, you're healthy, you're vibrant. Today they say, no, it's gonna do nothing for you. Don't eat bread, it's gonna make you fat. You want to be healthy, go take vitamins, go do this, go do that. Whoa, what happened to us? The earth that provides the nutrients has been cursed, has been depleted. Where has it gone? Chazal tell us the cause and effect is the absence, the lack of giving tzedakah. When you give tzedakah, meiser, to the levi, to the koyein, to the ani, this is what supplies the nutrients in the earth to produce godogon that has shuman. And that shuman, I'm assuming it means just its natural qualities. Forget about flavor and fragrance. Just it being a healthy product. Next. And now he goes on to explain, now the question of the Gemara is the Yerushalmi, umimi nital yos, which one was taken, which one lost more? So we have over here two different things. This is an incredible Gemara. Over here the Gemara presents tam v'reach and the shuman hadogon, nutrients. Which one is lacking more? That comes from our pasuk right here, our two pasukim. When it comes to grain, you go out and you expect to find a measure of 20 and you only discover 10. When it comes to yayin, you expect to find 50 and you find 20. Yayin represents tam v'reach. Yayin, according to this chazal, is symbolic of taste and fragrance. Whereas grain represents the shuman hadog, represents the nutrients. And what do we see? We see that when Tyra is absent, you lose more than 50%. When maestros are not given, you only lose 50%. Umimi nital yoiser, amar Rabbi Levi bar China, nish me'ino min hodo. Let us derive the answer to this question from the following pasuk in Sefer Chagai. What does it say in Sefer Chagai? Mihi yoisam bo elarimas eshim v'hoiso asara. You come to the granary, you expect to find 20, only find 10. Bola yekev, lachsoif chanishim pura. You come to the wine, the storage of wine, you expect to find 50 measures. Vahoisa esrim, 20. What do you mean 20? It should say 25. Esrim vachamisha, ein ksivkan elo vahoisa esrim. So here we learn, the Yerushalmi is emphasizing this principle, is that when Tam v'reach suffers more when there's an absence of the Beis HaMikdash than the basics, the Shumon Hadagon. The Shumon Hadagon appears to be the basics. Hashem, when he punishes us and he takes away the basics, he doesn't take it away entirely. He leaves us exactly 50%. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the luxuries of life, the zest, the things that make us happy in life, the tam, the reach, that Hashem takes away even more than 50%. Okay, and that comes from an absence of tahira. It's very, very fascinating. Okay, this really, I think we really had really four different answers to this question as to why there's a different ratio between wine versus grain. One of the commentators said, lav dafka. That's the most shocking thing to say. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, you know, it's just examples with throwing around numbers. We took numbers out of a hat. The other answer we had, I think that was the Mitsudos, he says something very, very fascinating, is that it represents man's evil nature. Man is an evil being. Ki yetzer leiv ha'odam ra min uruv. Man does not want to give Hashem the benefit of doubt. And Hashem only takes away 50%. Hashem does not take away more than 50%. However, when it comes to grain, which is above the ground, it's easy to measure. So you can see, you cannot deny the fact that Hashem has only denied exactly 50%. But when it comes to yayin that is below ground, and it's much, much more difficult to have a proper calculation. So you really can't tell precisely how much is missing. The truth is, if you would make a precise calculation, you would discover that it's exactly 50%. But man is not willing to give Hashem the benefit of doubt, and man assumes that it's less than 50%. That's a very frightening interpretation. It's expressing man's bad nature. Man is always suspecting that Hashem has it out for him. Hashem is coming to get him, coming to harm him. It's a very frightening idea. And in fact, there are some religions that are built upon this. Okay, the evil genius, I always tell you about this. Evil, this principle in philosophy, this Apicursis, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out to get you. He created a world in order to torture you. The Ramchal, he gets the credit for this, has taught us, Oilam Chesed Yibaneh. This is the greatest Apicursis. What they teach in college, in philosophy 101, core curriculum in Brooklyn College, take a course in philosophy, and they teach you all the basic yisoidos of philosophy. And this is one of them. This principle called the evil genius is the greatest form of apikorsis that could ever be in this world. Because Ramchal has revealed and emphasizes at great length that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world just the opposite, to do chesed. Oilam chesed yibane. Why did Hashem create this world? What's my purpose here? The purpose is here for Hashem to do with you kindness. And although we don't see, we don't appreciate it, the day will come when we will appreciate it. And here in this pasuk, according to, I think, the Mitzudais, it's an incredible revelation. Man doesn't get it. He just doesn't appreciate the Ramchal, Oilam Chesed Yibane. Always trying to suspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to get you. If you look at the wine and it looks like it's missing, you know, you only deserve it should be missing 50%. But right away you suspect that Hashem cheated you. He's giving you less than 50%. That's a lie. That's a reflection upon your bad nidos and your lack, your unwillingness to be makir Hashem's chesed. The third interpretation we gave why it says here the number is it's a simon ra. Okay, I don't have clarity in what that means exactly, but it's more than just the punishment. It seems like the idea is sometimes Hashem brings punishment, but sometimes it's more than just a punishment. It's a bad omen. It's a bad sin. And when Yayin is reduced to less than 50%, Hashem is not just punishing you. Hashem is telling you, you know, your future outlook is not going to be very, very good. It's a bad omen. And this omen only applies to Yayin. And when it's less than 50%, then, you know, watch out for the future. And the last interpretation is from the Yerushalmi, which is emphasizing this fascinating principle, a correlation between Tahira and Tzedakah. Tam v'reach goes missing when there's an absence of Tahira, and that's something which is spooky in dealing with what's going on in the world today. Is Hashem making that? Is Hashem speaking to us and telling us there's an absence of Tahira? Well, there certainly is. No one's going to tell you that there's something missing. A Tahira is missing in this world. Do we have a right to say cause and effect? We do not have a right to say cause and effect, but we do have a right to take advantage of the coincidence and to emphasize, you know, maybe now is a good time to acknowledge that the Tahira in this world is missing, and maybe we should do something about it. Okay? You can't say cause and effect. That's illegal. But you can anyway. Tahira is on the top of our agenda. What's going on in this world? It's now a good time to wake up to this reality. We got a problem. Look at the coincidence here. And tzedakah, we take away the shuman, which I'm telling you are the basic nutrients. When it comes to, and the Gemara really needs more explanation of what this means. The Gemara's, which one is more? Why does one have to be more? What does that mean exactly? What's the Gemara's question? I don't know. I have no idea what this Gemara means. Divrei Agada are very mysterious. The Gemara takes note. Tam v'reach, shuman hadogon. And then the Gemara says, which one is more? Who says one has to be more? Who cares? Why does one have to be more? And yet the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says, tam v'reach. Look at the pasuk here in Haggai. When it comes to the grain, we go down 50%. When it comes to tam v'reach, we go down more than 50%. All right, that concludes the section. Let's now go on to the next section. We're up now to pasuk Yudches. No, not Yudches. I'm sorry. We're up to now the pasuk. Oh yeah, pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches Chai. Simu no levavchem. Pay attention. It seems like Chagai really likes these words. He likes the words simu no. He keeps on repeating this over and over. Simu no levavchem. Pay attention. The word sum is always interpreted in contrast to the word nesina. There are two words to put. There is to be a noisein and to be a nesina and a nesina, nun, sof, yod nun, nesina, verse sima. What's the difference? Nesina is a general. Put it down. Put something down. Where should I put it? Anywhere. Just put it down on the table. That's called nesina. Sima means to set in place. Don't just put it down anywhere. Put it down in its proper location, its proper place. When you use the expression simu no levavchem, it means pay close attention. Don't just get a general understanding, a general musa shmus. Be very focused. Focus on what I'm telling you. Menayem azel v'molo.
We did pasuk Yud-Zayin?
Yeah, sure, we did. We did Yud-Zayin. Yeah, the bar, we did this.
Yes, we did. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did the barad, the three that we didn't talk because none of them are farshim. We really dwell upon it, on the difference between the significant symbolism of Shidafoin, Yerokoin, and Borod. Three different types of curses. Yeah, the Toicha, but in the Toicha, the same.
Sometimes it's four. It's the same thing also. Vayomer Aleichem Simul of Avchem. Moshe says it at least twice in the Varm.
Repeat it, yeah.
Okay, so we did pass the Yud Zayin. We didn't really discuss any Chidushim, so we'll leave it with that. But, what does the Targum say? Does the Targum say, Yaskon Beshid Foyna, Uviyar Koino, Uvi Bar Da? He doesn't really say anything. All right, let's go further. Notice the word Vamala stands in contrast to the word Vamala in the previous Pasuk. Back in Pasuk Tezvav. In Pasuk Tezvav, we had Viatoa now, Simna Levavchem, Min Hayoim Hazeh Vamala. And there, when we had the word Vamala, we struggled. Some of the commentators said the word Vamala means backwards, Lemafreya. I want you to pay attention what has happened in the past. And then the pasuk goes on to say, one in the past, miterem sum even el even beheichal Hashem. Other commentators said, no, the word vamola means I want you to pay attention going forward. Vamola. And then we're coming to contrast the past against what's going to be in the future. Here again, we have the same word vamola. Simil levavchem, nayem hazeh vamola. Miyoim, esh, we'll have to see how the mefarshim translate the word vamola in pasuk yutches. Miyoim, esh shim v'yabol atashi. From the 24th day of the ninth month, of Latashi, which month is the Tishi? Kislev. Okay, we're discussing this date. Erev Chanukah. Erev Chanukah is obviously a very significant day, because if Chagai meant any day in the calendar that is mentioned explicitly in Tanakh, is not a day you ignore. It's not a day to ignore. Erev Chanukah is obviously a very specific day. Do you say Tachnun Erev Chanukah? Yes. By Mincha, do you say Tachnun? No. There's always a dilemma. Every one of the Chagim, do you say Tachanun, the Mincha, before the festival? And many of us don't take Tachnun too seriously, so we take the lenient opinion. We live in a generation where almost every single Erev, we don't say Tachanun, the Mincha before. But that is far from simple. That's far from simple. You pay attention to the Poskim, even Chanukah. Who says you don't say Tachanun, Erev Chanukah? There's probably not a shul the whole America that says Tachanun, Mincha, Erev Chanukah. I guarantee you, if you look in the poskim, you'll see, not so simple. Not so simple. Who tells you don't say Tachanun Erev Chanukah? Well, where does that come from? Maybe when it comes to Yom Tov, Korbanos, I don't remember all the lum. There's a lot of lumness in Torah about this. Just because it's Erev Yom Tov, who gave you a right not to say Tachanun? We just ignore the whole thing. But it is interesting that Erev Chanukah is recorded in Tanakh. And if it's recorded, maybe there's a reason why you shouldn't say Tachanun even at Shachris, because it's the day. The whole day becomes a whole different day when there's a message in that day for Klal Yisrael. Is it a good message or is it a bad message? I don't know. It all depends on, it's all subject to interpretation. It's all subject to, look over here, he gave them an exam. This day, on the 24th day, he gave the Kohanim an exam. We had a machloikis. Did they get a 50 on the exam, or did they get a 0 on the exam? If they got a 0 on the exam, if they got a 50, maybe the kohanim, it's a day of mourning for them. They were shown up. They were humiliated. They should fast Erev Chanukah. It's a day of humiliation. Think about it. Chanukah is all about the kohanim. There's something very significant about that day. The Yom Tov of Chanukah is Haneirois halolu sho'onu madlikim al hanisim v'al neflois sh'asis lav osenu b'yamim ochem al yedei koi hanecho hakidoshim.
Yes, and the time is identified as Bimei Matis Yohu.
Bimei Matis Yohu, who were the kings, the malchus of Klal Yisrael, was under the authority of the Kohanim. It was a Choyroa Shah. What are the Kohanim doing there? Malchus belongs to David, to Shevet Yehuda. Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda u'mechoykik mibein Raglof. What in the world are the Chashmonoim doing in the position of Malchus? What's going on here? And the whole Neris Halalu al Yedei Kohanecha HaKedoshim. That's Hanukkah, starting on the 25th day of Kislev. And what happened on the 24th day of Kislev, the day before Hanukkah? There was no day in the Jewish calendar that was more humiliating for the Kohanim than Erev Hanukkah. The ultimate humiliation to be ranked out by Haggai. Haggai says, Kohanim, come here. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you know the halacha? You sin the Beis HaMikdash. You have kachim, tumah v'tahara. This is your parnasa. This is what you do the whole day. What's the halacha? Is there a revi, a chamishi, a shlishi, all the different perushim? What's the answer? Wrong, wrong, wrong. You don't even know what you're doing. He ranked them out. The ultimate humiliation came upon the Kohanim on Erev Hanukkah. And then the next day is the ultimate kavod. Could not be more honored to the Kohanim when they're the kings. Their family is the Malchus. Everyone in Klal Yisrael says, Al Yidei Kohanecha HaKedoshim. Isn't it Pilei Ployim? It's unbelievable. The contrast from Erev Hanukkah to Hanukkah. One day. So are you going to say Tachanun now or not? On Erev Hanukkah. How do you look at this? How do you understand this day? But in any event, here he continues the Musar. The Musar is, Simna Levavchem, L'mayim HaZev HaMola. Pay attention. Also, M'yoyim HaZev HaMola. It's almost like he's saying, tomorrow. Today I got you, but tomorrow, Chof Hey, Miyoyim Hazet, today is the 24th. Vamola, starting tomorrow is a new era. And indeed, it is a new era. Hanukkah has changed Klal Yisrael. We have some good Hanukkah Torah here. You don't hear this type of stuff, right? You don't hear this type because people don't know Chagai. You're in Chagai, so you have all the Torah of Hanukkah, incredible stuff over here, in the middle of nowhere in Chagai. Miyoyim Eshem Yabol Latishii, Lemin Hayoyim Asher Yusad Hechel Hashem, from the day that it has been established, Hechel Hashem, Nochamo, Simu Levavchem. These are his hallmark. Okay, the words of Chagai are, he says already, how many times he said this? He keeps on saying this again and again and again, even here in the same pasuk, he repeats it twice. We had it already before. Pasuk Yutes, Ha'oid HaZera BaMegura, is the Zera in the Megura. What's the Megura? The Megura is another word for a storage center. Okay, it's the Megura we had before. The normal is the Kri, the silo. I guess it's another word. The Ad HaGefen VaTeima VeHariman VeHazayis. While, or Ha'oid, I think it's a rhetorical question. Ha'oid HaZera BeMegura, listen to the Mitzudos right away. V'chiyesh oid ma min azeba Megura. There's nothing left. Haloi hakol hoitzeisem lizria kimat hayu. There's nothing. It's a rhetorical question. Is there any grain left in the storage silo? There's nothing there. The ar hagefen, the vine, the hateen, the fig, the horimon, the pomegranate, the eitz hazayis, the olives, loy nasa. It has not yet come forth. Min hayoyim hazeh avoreich. And what does it mean? Min hayoyim hazeh avor, period. But, min hayoyim hazeh avoreich. But, it's not a typical pasuk. But starting tomorrow, on Chof Hey Kislev, the first day of Hanukkah, the blessing will begin. Now there's no blessing, but starting min hayoyim hazeh avarech, starting from this day forward. Today I'm giving you Musar, but starting mikanul haba, things are going to change. It's really amazing, unbelievable. Okay, now let's take a look at these two psukim, Mitzvah Stavi Pasuk Yitchas. V'mala Ritzanalema Ulohola, further, going forward. You notice that the Mitzvah David, he says the same exact word in back in Pasuk Tezvav, he translated it differently. I told you this. You turn the page back to 704, Pasuk Tezvav, in the Mitzvah David, Minayoyim Hazev V'mala, this means to say, milafoneho. Okay, I'll take down from the screen. You don't need this anymore. It means milafoneho, means from yesterday. Yesterday. Okay, there, in the previous pasuk, the translation was, I want you to pay attention to what has happened in the past. And here he's taking the same exact word, vamola, and according to the Mitzvah Stav, it's referring to the future. Okay, so we have here, it's like a poetic play on the words. He's using the same word and he's using it in a different form. Let's go further.
Look at the context,
exactly. That's what we always say, the context. Every word in Chumash, so we spend a lot of time, that's what we're discovering, we're learning Chumash. Over here, right? Yeah, it only makes it right. In this context, it means forward. From now on, when we're building upon the foundation, there's nothing left in the storage in the storage center, because you've taken all the grain to use to plant for the next season. So the basic idea over here is this psukim over here is coming to contrast. He's coming to make the point that we learned in the Gemara, in the Mamari Chazal. Chagai is saying, take note, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, you're poor. But you are going to see that starting tomorrow, when you begin to build the Beis HaMikdash, when you begin to build the structure upon the foundation, you're going to take note, that all of a sudden the economy is going to be supercharged. Everything is going to get better. Everyone's going to have an easy parnasa. You'll have success. Pay attention to this. Take note of this. When there is a Beis HaMikdash, there is blessing. And when there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is a curse. And remember that. What's the purpose of remembering that? Don't misbehave. Don't do things that are going to jeopardize the safety and security of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's just not for your own benefit. No one wants to be poor. No one wants to be destitute. Look at the reality. Study history. For the last 70 years, there was no Beis HaMikdash. You were poor. Take note. Mark the calendar date. Starting tomorrow, when you look back in hindsight, you'll say, the economy was booming. What's the connection? Why? Because until yesterday, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Until today. Starting today, tomorrow, you're going to build a structure. There will be already a binyan. Something's going to be moving. That's the difference. Don't forget about it. Don't say it's a coincidence. It's the Yad Hashem, and it depends upon there being a Mikdash and all that it entails. The Mikdash is the Mokoim Hashroas Hashchina, Hashem's divine presence as a place to rest comfortably in this world. Our Hashem's presence is in this world. It's a trickle-down effect. The whole world is filled with blessing. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yudches, Asher Yusad Hichel Hashem, Shishchilu Ata Bashenia, L'chaysif Al Yisoyed HaRishoyin Shabanu B'mei Koresh. Now, 22 years later, you're going to start to build the Mikdash. There's a 22-year gap. It's a very fascinating number of years. 22 years is incredible. It's incredible. Same number of years from Yoshio until the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And now, again, we have a delay. 22 years, the foundation is when it started, because that was 18 years. That was 18 years. Wait, I forgot the calculation. The calculation was Koresh was 52 years. 52 years after the Churban, Koresh gave permission to rebuild.
Right.
From that until 70 years?
No, 70 years first, and then...
Achashverosh was set, was...
First, yeah, first is Babel, right? 70 years?
Right.
And then Ed?
Correct. When Achashverosh made the party, he celebrated. What was he celebrating? He was celebrating that 70 years have passed and nothing has happened.
Right.
What was his mistake? His mistake, he made the calculation. His calculation, how can I forget all these things? His calculation was from the galus of what was the galus of Yehoyachin, which took place 11 years before the Churban. Before the Churban. 11 years. I've got the calculation. We have to review the numbers.
Right.
But if I'm not mistaken, we made the calculation. It came out that Daryovesh HaParsi was now speaking 22 years after Koresh. Koresh gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and very shortly thereafter, it came to an end. And now
it was suspended.
During the end of his malchus, and then Achashverosh came into play. He was a king for 14 years, correct? He was king for 14 years, Achashverosh, and then he died, and Daryovesh, now in his second year, gave permission. All right, let's go further. Let's do Rashi. Pasuk Yutes and Rashi. Ha'oira zebe magur, adayim lo yizratem bashon hazo. You have not yet planted this year. V'ilonis adayim lo yichontu perosehem. The trees have not blossomed their fruits. Now you're going to plant. When you build a Beis HaMikdash, you avoid Barocha. Blessing will come. So Rabbi says, this is very relevant for us. You know why this is a Hashgacha process that we're learning this? Because this week is the last week of Shiva de Nechemta. This Shabbos. Right? Is that wrong? Is it next week or this week? Well, I made a mistake. It's next week. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. This is the sixth week, right? This is the sixth week of Shavuot Nechemta. I'm forgetting. So forget about that. But I'll just tell you one idea that is relevant, is a little bit relevant, is how many days are there between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah? 50 days. Is that correct? There are 50. Tisha B'Av is on the ninth day.
Yeah.
We have the entire Chodesh Elul, which is 30 days. And if Tisha B'Av is on day 9, so then comes day 10. 10 to the end of the month is 20 days. 30 plus 20 is 50. Okay, give or take, you have to, it's about 50 days between 29 days, 30 days. But it's about 50 days. 50 is always the number. It's the number that we use to refer to preparation. How do we know this? Matan Torah. How many days are there between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah? 50 days. Usfartem lechem yimachras haShabbos miyavilas omer tufa sheva Shabbosas tmimos. What happened in the Beis HaMikdash? It was destroyed. The moment it was destroyed is the moment we begin to prepare to rebuild. Basically, the day after Tisha B'Av, we begin to count Sefira. Usefartem lochem mimocharas haShabbos. What does that mean? Mark, what does it mean, mocharas haShabbos? What's the first word of Kinois? The first word you say in Kinois and Tisha B'Av morning. The very first word, you start with Kinevav. Shavas. Suru mimenu. Shimu ovrai. The erste word of Kinois. Shavas. State in the Torah. Usefartem lochem. Mimocharas haShabbos. You shall count for you the day after Shavas. Mimocharas haShabbos haShavas. Chamishim yoim, sheva shabosos tmimos. And when does day 50 come out? Rosh Hashanah. And what do you do on Rosh Hashanah? Why do you blow shofar? What is Rav Sadia going to say? He gives you 10 reasons why you blow shofar. And one of the 10 reasons is, it's merames, or it's misamel, the shofar shel Mashiach. The shofar shel Mashiach heralds in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the moment when the Churban happened, immediately, Yimochras HaShabbos, Yimochras HaShavas, Shavas, you right away have to rebuild. And rebuilding takes time. It does not happen overnight. It's a process of Sheva, Shabbosais, Tanimois, which culminates with Rosh Hashanah, Tekiya Shofar, the Shofar Shel Moshiach. This is not my vart. I embellish it a little bit with the Merchus HaShabbos, but the main Yisoid comes from Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita. I remember hearing this many years ago. I was blown away. I just added this thing, Merchus HaShabbos of Shavas. 50, it's a process of rebuilding. Okay, so remember Chagai is telling Klal Yisrael over here, rebuild, rebuild. Time has come to rebuild. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And you have to pay attention and you have to get with the program in order to be successful. All right, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to learn about Rosh Hashanah, Minhagim, Simonim, food, Shachyanu, the Nusach HaTfilah. Okay, we're going to proceed to learn about these in a minute or two.
It stares me in the face of the Pasuk Yud Ches Simu Na, but then the last words, Simu Levavchem, they drop the Na. Why would that be? Why do they drop the Na?
Gotta think about it. Good question.
I don't know if it's a good question or just, I don't know. But it just hits me in the face. Okay, see you in a few minutes.